Praise the Lord. Amen. I hope you're living in victory today and you could enjoy that song as much as I did this morning. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the resurrection chapter there in the book of the church at Corinth. Didn't have everything right. They didn't get everything right all the way along, but this is a chapter of victory over death. Amen. And the portion we'll study this morning, we will begin in the very first verse, but I do want to thank everybody for being here. What a blessing it is to be in God's house on the day that He rose from the dead that we mark. And again, every Sunday we worship God in His resurrection. On Sunday, we choose to do that because Jesus is our Sabbath. Amen. And He rose again from the dead. A lot of times for us, if we're not careful, we'll get poochy lip. And we'll live under all the things in this sin of this world, but Jesus came to set us free from all these things. Amen. And one day He'll set us bodily free, just like He rose again bodily. Amen. This morning, before I get ahead of myself and I get too wound up, last time I really did. I mean, I thought about going back and praying, but I got so worked up, I just had to preach. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray before I get worked up and preach. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear God, as we come to You this morning, Lord, I do thank You for all that's been done. What wonderful music has been prepared, Lord, and been presented in this place about the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection. Lord, we do believe, I believe many in this room came today because they want to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning if there's some that are here, Lord, and they've been trusting in something else other than You for salvation, that today would be the day of salvation. I pray, God, truly that You'd give us a resurrection of faith in the lives of believers today through Your word, through Your preaching. I pray now for me, Lord, that You'd let me move out of the way, Lord. You'd let me be Your messenger boy. Holy Spirit of God, I surrender myself for You to speak through me, Lord, to do what You will with me, Lord. I pray You give me unction to function in this moment. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would go into the hearts and the ears of the hearers, Lord, and they would You would turn them to Jesus Christ today. We'll ask You this in the name that's above all names, in Jesus' name, amen. Today, we celebrate the resurrection. What a day. It is a day of resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but for us, it marks a day that resurrection will happen in the future for those that have trusted and believed on Him. I oftentimes think of that, and I think of, we celebrate every Sunday the resurrection of our Lord by coming and worshiping on the day that He rose again. But when we really think about all this, we have to list this because we live in a day, we not only here at Landmark, and I hope every believer who truly believes in the name of the Lord Jesus, we believe that Jesus, not figuratively or spiritually, but literally, bodily, rose again from the dead. Amen. That He raised from death unto life. That He rose again physically, visibly, bodily from the tomb, and that He walked and talked with others for 40 days. The Bible uses this terminology, many infallible proofs. The word infallible proofs means you can't deny it. You can't disregard it. There's so many things that have been marked down and people that saw Jesus and been recorded in earthly history, let alone in this book that's forever settled in heaven. It really, really, really happened. Too many times we think it's some kind of a mythical story or fairy tale and that people tell about this Jesus of Nazareth. No, friends, there is historical proof that Jesus lived and died and rose again. You can't go to Rome and to go into the archives without digging out that Jesus really was put to death and that they really did not know what happened when He came out of the grave. They even mark it in their historical writings, but what a blessing that we have some more historical writings that tell us all things that happened after His death, that He walked through walls and that He came in and said, "Handle me. Look at the nails in my hands and the hole in my side," and that He breathed on them the Holy Ghost in that room. Boy, what I tell you, I'm telling you that the Lord Jesus really did rise again. Too many times we lose that. We think we let this world, think about the story itself. That story, I mean, every great story in history has a moment where everything seems lost. where it doesn't look like the winners win. It doesn't look like anything could happen, that they're down and out and nothing could happen. But the man with the white hat rides in and saves the day. And listen, the man with the white hat was the one that had been put down. The man with the white hat was the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven and died on Calvary and went to the grave. And when it seemed all was lost and every one of his disciples were hiding in some hole in the ground, all of a sudden Jesus walked out of the tomb under his own power, resurrected, never to die again. I don't know about you, but listen, I'm so glad that, listen, he wasn't just a good man or a good prophet, but he was the God man, and that he had power over death, but that he laid his life down for me and for you. That same Jesus, listen, we celebrate on Resurrection Day that the every other good cowboy that wore the white hat, they were looking and trying to picture the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, but the greatest cowboy, the greatest shepherd, the greatest Savior, so-called, the only Savior, is Jesus Christ. And it's because of his resurrection. Too many times we let these things slip. I read a quote this week by the scientist Henry Morris, and he put it like this: the bodily resurrection of Christ, think about this, for the Christian is the crowning part of our Christianity. Do you know, we realize that Jesus Christ coming out of the grave wasn't just this low part. Boy, that's when it seemed the worst, but the climax of our story. Everything else is victory from here on out. You know, all the battles, all the victory that she was singing about is because there was one climactic victory that Jesus won. And we always reference it of the cross, but it is the resurrection that showed him the victor. Hey, folks, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to make sure that we get some preaching in. And you may think I already started, but that was just, you know, that was all for free. I just kind of, you know, that was just trying to make sure that everybody knew where we were and what page we were on. I was waiting for you to turn the scripture. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see here Paul writes under the inspiration of God to the church at Corinth. He writes some things they had had some folks show up and try to teach, just like they did while Jesus was alive. They always had these two groups. They had the Pharisees, who believed in a resurrection, and there was a group of people called Sadducees that did not believe in a resurrection, and that's why they were sad all the time. All right, because they didn't believe they just believed they were in the ground and they were done. All right, and those two groups existed before Jesus came, and then when he came, died, and rose again, even after that, their sect or their group or their religion or their theology permeated even good churches. Today, the title for the message today is, we need a resurrection of faith. We live in a day and age where all kinds of bad theology and philosophy interfere with the minds of Christians. We go to big schools with big names, and we let their influence, and we let them try to marry in evolution with Christianity when they're like oil and water. They have nothing to do with each other. One is false and one is true. One is foundation. The other is just a theory. Amen. Hey, folks, we've got to come to the place that we throw off wrong things, that we throw off man's philosophy and man's ideas, and we embrace the resurrection, the faith that comes from believing in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 1, we see Paul writes here to the Corinth church, and he's trying to dispel this wrong doctrine. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered you unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. He's about to tell you the gospel. There's a lot of people that say the gospel is good news, but the scripture says in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That means it was prophesied of old. According to the scripture, just the way the Bible had told it in the past, he died just that way. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, listen, every time the Bible says there's a therefore, you got to look what it's there for. It's important every time when it says wherefore or therefore, it's there for a reason. Paul just said, I preach the gospel. He laid a foundation for the rest of the chapter. He said, I have preached the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to you. And because of what I preach and what I believe, it has affected my life. And I've gone everywhere telling everybody about a different man that died and was put in the ground, but he didn't stay dead. He rose up on the third day, and now he's seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Paul says, therefore, in verse 11, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, for faith is vain, for he says, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. He begins to lay down an argument that if all this is true, why in the world would you believe this? Men that saw it, men that told it to you, men that penned it down under the inspiration of God, what they saw and what they heard of God after his bodily resurrection, now you're believing a bunch of cutthroat thieves that have come in afterwards and tried to steal away good doctrine from the church. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm just coming. I get mad. I can hear mad in Paul's writing. His pen was shaking. He was upset. If he wasn't careful, he'd push through the paper. He's not preaching. I'm preaching, but he was preaching through pen. Can you see this theological argument? All these ye found, if the dead rise not. He's arguing back and forth with them. He said, have you even followed this through if there is no resurrection? Have you ever really thought about this? That if we of all men are most miserable is what he's going to say. Look at the scripture with me. He says in verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. They hadn't calculated, hey, there is no salvation outside of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are persuaded. Look, he said, have perished. I sat here on the pew this morning and looking at all the people that were inside the building. And I realized the blessing that I have to be the pastor because someone else worked and labored and believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this place. And there are places where people sit today, where other people that invested in my life used to sit, and they're not alive anymore. But now they've fallen asleep, but they trusted in the resurrection of one Jesus Christ. And one day I'll see them face to face. One day I'll be able to thank them again for their investment in my life and into this place and what God has done in our lives. Listen, it's not just us that are alive and remain, but those also that have gone before us. One day at the twinkling of an eye, at the call of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the trump sounds, boy, we're all going to be caught up out of this place together. And it's not just you and I who sit on Resurrection Sunday, but those that have believed through all the years at Landmark Baptist Church that will go with us in the air to face their rewards one day. Hey, that tower that we look at in the college met in this week, it didn't just happen. Somebody had the labor, and some of the names that are on the column there that invested their money and their time and their work, hey, they believed in a resurrection, so they gave of their money and they gave of their hands. Listen, the reason I want to preach on a resurrection, listen, a revival of resurrection of faith, is because you and I this morning need to get back to the way we used to believe. The resurrection of Jesus Christ used to stir us up so that we would serve and give and go and do what God called us to do in this life. Again, all in introduction. Look at verse 20 with me. I'm sorry. In verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. And then look at verse 24. This speaks, then cometh the end. Not the end of all things, but the end of the church age. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. Folks, he goes on and talks about a conquering king, that Jesus is going to come back. This morning, our focus is the resurrection. If Jesus can conquer death, and he has, if Jesus could rise again, then no man, no spiritual faction, no theology can conquer him in victory. He is victorious. He lives today. He is God. He's 100% man and 100% God. I want to say number one this morning. Look back at chapter 15 and verse 4. Look at it with me this morning. I want you to see this. Number one, faith is fulfilled. Fulfilled prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have a resurrection of the fulfilled prophecy. In our day and age, we don't often run the Old Testament because we're trying to live the New Testament age doctrine. But all throughout the Old Testament, when the Bible says it's for our admonition, over and over again, when we start to wane in our faith, and we may say, oh man, he said he would come again. And if it's true, where is he? All these years that I've heard it preached, hey, you know what? You want to strengthen you? Go back to the Old Testament and realize the one that said he's coming back again, said he would come the first time and told us how he was going to come, and over again. How about Isaiah 53, 9 through 11? How about Psalm 16, 9 through 11? Over and over again, prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ, him come and suffering just like he said he would, and then him rising again from the dead. Zechariah 12, 10. I don't know about you, but there's prophecies of him coming the first time. And Jesus, the one that filled prophecy, is not only prophet and a priest, but he's also a king. And when he comes back, the prophet will show himself real as he sets up his kingdom. That priest will come out and he will have set in order his priestly duties. And all those that believe in him that'll be in heaven will come back on white horses with him that day. Boy, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the day that not only do we know we're victors and we're in heaven while the world's going through turmoil, but boy, I'm going to look forward to the day when we ride in to Jerusalem. When we ride in on white horses to stand behind our Lord and Savior, to rule and reign with him. I don't know about you, but listen, my faith is fulfilled in prophecy. I realize that Jesus is who he says he is, not just because of what he did when he did it, but he said he would do it hundreds of years before, thousands of years before. That promise in Genesis 3:15, that there would be one that came and died. There would be one that would shed blood for them and would cover their sins. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I believe in a resurrection of the dead because Jesus said he would and he did. Amen. Number two, I want you to see this in verses 5-8. Look back, I want to read verse 4. He says, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto this present day, the writing here, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Paul says, I was one of that 13th apostle, the one that God called and showed himself to on that Damascus road, that supernatural appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, bodily resurrected and in heaven with a bright light that knocked Paul down on the road to Damascus. I don't know about you folks, but I believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a resurrection of realizing that everybody that's ever believed, these men, these disciples that turned the world upside down, did it because they were eyewitnesses of his resurrection. We don't just have some book that writes it down. We have men that wrote under the inspiration of God that saw it with their own two eyes. They handled it with their very own hands. And they said, this isn't just some fable. When we were hiding away in John chapter 20 in some little room away from the Jews and fearing them, Jesus walked through the wall and walked in and said, peace be unto you. And he put his hands in his side out and said, go ahead, thrust it into my side. Go ahead, touch the nail prints in my hand. It's me. I'm the one. I'm back from the dead. Amen. I told you. Can you imagine? You know, you got that redneck brother-in-law, right? That when he's right once in a year, he's like, I told you. I told you. Jesus is not some redneck brother-in-law. Every time he says it's going to happen, it happens just like he said. Hey, folks. I want to have a resurrection of faith that is based upon the eyewitness testimony of the resurrected Lord. Number three, faith in God is transforming. Do you know Paul writes down here in the scripture? You know, even if after you say, I could discount, I'm not sure about these guys. I've never talked to one of them, even though they pen down history. You believe other history books. You don't get upset and say George Washington was never the president. You didn't see him. You didn't touch his wooden teeth. You didn't go up there. You know what I'm saying? You didn't pull his ponytail. Hey, but you believe he was the president, the very first one, because it's written down in a history book. And listen, some people that write history books today, you can't trust them as far as you can throw them. They weren't eyewitnesses. The ones that wrote the history books today aren't somebody that touched George Washington or walked with George Washington or with them, but we still believe it. But when God uses men that handled Jesus and walked with Jesus and touched Jesus, when they write down their firsthand account under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, part of God, we don't want to believe it. We've got to have a resurrection of faith. That faith can then be seen by the transformation that happens in our lives. Do you know that the drastic change that happens inside the Christian when we believe in Jesus Christ, it happens. It doesn't have to always be we cut our hair and dress up for church and all the things that we see on the outside that, you know, we wear shoes, amen, instead of sandals. You know, everybody's got some kind of different thing. That's the mark of a Christian. No, the mark of a Christian is that something deep inside of him, all of a sudden now, he has something that goes along with his conscience. He's got something on the inside that's different. And the world says, hey, something's different about him. His speech ain't the same that it was before. His walk is not the same. What he does and what's important to him is not the same anymore since he's believed on Jesus Christ. There is a transformation power that happens when the Holy Spirit of God comes into the believer, when we believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It not only brings salvation, that is when we trust in him because he's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said this in John 14:6, there is no other way. Listen, there's no other way. There's no other truth outside of him. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not me, but Jesus, the resurrected Savior. You realize there's nobody else in this world that can save. I didn't make it exclusive. Jesus did. There are too many people today that are trusting in somebody who's still in the grave. We could list them. Buddha, Muhammad, all these people that they think are great prophets. But there's only one prophet that ever got up under his own power. And the person to put your faith and trust in is not some dead wannabe, but the real, living, bodily resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Transforming power. Look at verse 9 through 11 quickly. I don't think I can read all of it, but I want you to see this is for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, do you know that's where every one of us stand? We don't deserve salvation. What we deserve was hell because of our sin. But God came and paid our hell for us. He paid our sin debt for us. And now, because if we put our trust and faith in his death, burial, and resurrection, he says that by the grace of God in verse 10, I am what I am. Boy, when I stand before you this morning, I don't stand in my own righteousness. When you walked in the back door as a saved Christian this morning, you didn't come dressed up in your own righteousness. You got grace from an almighty God who saved you. Listen, if we all got what we deserved, we'd know we would get something that weren't worth getting. We would be in our sins, lost and on our way to hell. We would have no good works of our own. They'd never equal our bad works. But Jesus came and died for our sins. And now, when I stand before God in heaven, I won't stand in my own works, but in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll say, come on in, because my son died on Calvary. You were a sinner, but he paid for your sin. You were somebody, listen, I don't even know if you were worth anything, but now in Christ. Hey, do you realize how much God loved you? I mean, when I think about what I was before God saved me, I think, man, God, why did you even send your son to die for me? Well, when I contemplate who I am, and that's what Paul's doing here, Paul's going, I didn't deserve it. I was a Jew, but I persecuted God's church. I went contrary to the things of God. But now God, because of his grace and his mercy, he saved me, and I am what I am. Well, what a blessing. What a resurrection of faith that Christians everywhere could stand before Jesus Christ. You know, Popeye used to say that, right? You remember Popeye? I am what I am, you know. He is what he ate, spinach, right? Boom, like that, you know. Christians, listen, it's what, you know, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't often like to think about that, but Popeye was strong because he ate something. Amen. All right? And you don't get to heaven because you eat something. You don't get strong spiritually because you eat and drink the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. No Lord's Supper could ever take anybody to heaven. Amen. But when you trust in his finished work, his death, burial, and resurrection, when you put your faith and trust in his resurrection, you know what? You pass from death unto life. Amen. The Bible puts it this way, to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, and you shall be saved. Folks, listen, in our day, I think about this. I want to have a resurrection of faith because, you know, the philosophy of men and the fundamentals of the faith need to be believed in. You know, we need a resurrection of faith. You know, philosophy, look down with me. For time's sake, I want you to just to see this. In chapter 15 and verse 22, God begins, God even dealt. You know, all men here, we believe for some reason we have inborn in us. We need to work. Man needs to fix this problem that man created. If you believe in creation, you believe that there was an Adam, a first man, who died and all sin passed upon all men because of one man, Adam. All right? And so even in your philosophy, you think that somehow I have to work my way there. But that wasn't God's philosophy, God's theology, or God's plan. One man did bring sin into the earth, and so a right philosophy was that man was going to straighten it out. But it had to be a man just like the first man. It had to be a man that was made by God without sin. It had to be a man that was made by God who had an opportunity to live a perfect life. A man that was made by God that walked on the earth and kept all of God's commandments. And that's why Adam fell into sin, because he broke God's one command to him. Fell into sin and plunged all of us into sin. But here in the scripture it says in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Do you understand this morning that every one of us are a descendant of Adam? We were sinners because Adam was a sinner. Even if we tried to live a perfect life, sin was passed on to us because of whose family we were in. But there was one that came from God's family. A perfect man made in the flesh, but also 100% God inside of himself. And that same man who was made perfect, but made in our image, who put on earthly flesh and lived and breathed and died upon a cool, rugged cross, took my place and took your place, because by death came upon all men. That death that came by Adam, the same second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who will get in him. The Bible uses this terminology, you must be born again. You see, I was born into Adam's family. By the flesh, my blood, if you trace my blood all the way back, you trace your blood all the way back. If we had Adam's DNA today, we would realize every one of us are his descendant. But I can be born again into a new family. in one of Jesus Christ, into God's family, if I just accept him as my only Savior, the only payment for my sin, the completed one, the one that died, rose again, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If I believe in that man, if I put my trust in that man, then I can get in his family and into God's family. And the Bible uses salvation term that be born again. It's the only hope for mankind. See, the philosophy of man, it's not true that you can do some good and weigh it out and balance it. But all that is based in a philosophy that man did it and man had to fix it. And the only piece you can put together is that God made himself in the visage of a man. That means he wrapped God himself in human flesh and came and paid. Listen, your philosophy may be a touch off, but if you could just get on God's theology and understand that he sent his son from heaven and made him 100% man and 100% God, and that he died on Calvary for you and rose again, you could trust in that man and you would be born again into the family of God. Folks, I just want you to understand today, this idea of a resurrection of philosophy is based upon the fundamentals of Scripture. In our day, a bunch of people are trying to say that they're recovering fundamentalists. The fundamentals of the faith is that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. All right? And that he was born of a virgin. That had never happened before. And that there is a perfect Bible that tells us about a perfect God who came from heaven and died on Calvary. And that same fundamentals of the faith is not that Jesus just lived and that he died, but that he rose again. And that he is the Savior of this world. Folks, you can't change the fundamentals. If you change the fundamentals, you've changed what you believe in. You have changed the faith. That's why they're called the fundamentals of the faith. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, well, I invite you during the invitation to step out and come and be saved. You say, well, step out, invitation. Yeah, we're going to stand up in a moment and we'll ask you to come. Maybe you ask somebody to go with you. There are people all over the building that will come with you. And we'll take a Bible and show you how you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart and be born again into the family of God. If you're here and you've been attending a long time, and man, what a great day on Resurrection Sunday to join the church if you haven't joined before. Hey, folks, I just want you to know this morning, we need a resurrection. Christians in this building, we need a resurrection of faith back in the fundamentals, making us strong as a church, as a body, as a whole in our country. We have a decline in the moral standard of our country because we have a decline in faith. Folks, we've got to get back to resurrection faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the musicians come, if God spoke to your heart and you're in the room today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I again invite you, as we begin, the music begins and they begin to sing, I'd like for you to step out and come. If you're here and you know Christ as your Savior, would you slip your hand up and say, yes, sir, preacher, I know I'm born again. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Hey, folks, maybe you need to come and pray about some resurrection of some faith in your life in some area. If you're here and you don't know Christ and you couldn't raise your hand, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know that. Boy, I appreciate that hand. Is there another? Is there another in here today that say, I'm not sure I'm saved? I see that other hand. Listen, at the invitation, when we stand, why don't you come out and meet me in the front and let me take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. I'm going to pray for you like I said I was. And then we'll stand. Dear Jesus, I beg you to save these that have raised their hand and others if they don't know Christ as their Savior. Be with our church and help us have a resurrection of faith and get back to the standard of the fundamentals of your faith. Lord, I pray that you'd help this country, Lord, raise us up a group of fundamentalists, Lord, that would reach this country for Jesus. We ask it all in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. We ask it, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Bert's about to sing. I'll meet you in the front if you'll come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each bottle lamp of God I come.
Would you bow your head with me this morning? Some have come to receive Christ as their Savior, others to join the church. Maybe you need to do the same. You say, "Preacher, how do I do that?" Well, you need to step out and come. I'll take your hand and we'll talk to you about the Scripture. If you need to be saved, we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. If you want to join the church, well, we'd love to bring you in by letter or by baptism, but we could talk about it this morning. If you just step out and come, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed and Christians are praying, why don't you step out and come as Brother Bert sings?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God I call. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God I call.
Would you bow your heads again with me? The music continues to play. Let me urge you, if you're here this morning, you know, my dad came into an auditorium much like this on a day much like today. And the preacher preached salvation and how he could be born again. But he was worried about what people would think, and he was scared to walk to the front, and he held on. But then for 3 or 4 days, he was scared to death of what might happen to his soul. He knew he was on his way to hell without Jesus Christ. Thankfully, on Thursday night, somebody came by his house and gave him the gospel, and he accepted Jesus as his Savior. Can I urge you today, if you're here and you don't know Christ, don't wait and hope that somebody's going to come by. Don't leave here this morning and hope that somebody's going to come and share the gospel again with you. Today you heard the salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and the music is playing, why don't you step out and come and just trust Jesus Christ? Everybody in this building will rejoice with you. Everybody in this building will be happy for you that you've received Him. Listen, as Brother Bert sings, you step out and come and receive Christ.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God I come, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God. I come just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within.